It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, September 29th. I'm Patricia Naft. There's been an uproar over policies with the U.S. Forest Service proposal that would require a permit for photography or video filming. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the details.
The Forest Service has proposed some tweaks to their policy over photography and filming in wilderness areas, and it's caused quite a bit of confusion.
That may be a lesson learned for us as we move ahead on any future directives, is just to make sure you want to make sure and communicate with folks.
That's Chris Striebeck with the U.S. Forest Service. He says that the current proposal, which the public can comment on until December 3rd, focuses on commercial uses of wilderness areas, movies, advertisements, things like that.
These areas were designated to preserve the solitude and the natural scenery of the area and to basically leave them untouched by man. And so if there's going to be filming, these directives, once finalized, once we get people's comments, will be a way for us to manage the commercial ventures that may want to film out in the wilderness areas.
Chris says this doesn't affect journalists gathering news, tourists' photos or videos, or photography hobbyists.
You know, recreational photography is obviously encouraged. Take only pictures, leave only footprints. That's been a leave no trace mandate for a while. And so we encourage people to take photos out there. And when it comes to the commercial side, that's when we ask people to work with their local Forest Service office.
Some commercial operations can be quite large. So Chris says that these permits would be a way to keep track of them.
It's a way of managing that use, especially, of course, in the wilderness, which has specific congressional designations. And it also, there is a cost recovery side, which goes back to the Treasury, based on what type of activity is occurring out there. So once again, this is, you know, aimed at commercial ventures. It's to kind of protect all sides. Obviously, the Forest Service and the American public gain a lot of benefit out of commercial ventures that occur out on National Forest System lands, and we just want to make sure that it's regulated.
For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
There's exciting news for film buffs on the Western Slope. Quentin Tarantino's latest project, The Hateful Eight, will be completely filmed near Telluride. The Denver Post reports that Colorado beat out Utah and Wyoming for filming locations, mainly because of a rebate incentive. The state gave an estimated $5 million to the production so they'd film here. The 49-day film shoot will happen on Wilson Mesa, west of Telluride. David Justice, the Gunnison County man who tore out fencing, signs, barricades, and vegetation on a BLM trail, was found guilty last week. Justice and others were upset that a road had been changed in 2009 to only allow bikes, horses, and hikers. A BLM field manager testified that no one objected to the change when it was proposed in 2007. The Daily Sentinel reports that Justice faces a fine or imprisonment. And finally, it's been over a year since the East Peak Fire in Huerfano County challenged the largely rural area's resources. It came at a time when other fires were burning throughout the state, including the devastating Black Forest Fire. Huerfano County's Volunteer Fire Protection District was the first responding agency to the Southern Colorado Fire. KRCC's Kate Perdoni reports on the challenges of the volunteer agency in the wake of the East Peak Fire.
Fred Partee is one of 41 volunteer firefighters with the Huerfano County Fire Protection District, serving more than 800 square miles across the county. In June of last year, he was on the first responding engine to the East Peak Fire near La Vida. Originally detected by a group of camping Boy Scouts, the fire would go on to burn more than 13,000 acres over the course of 3 weeks, prompting evacuations and putting the entire region on alert.
With the East Peak Fire, just like any large-scale wildfire, the stack is stacked against you.
The size of largely rural Huerfano County means even when adequate help is available, it might take a while to get there. Partee says with the East Peak Fire, they got lucky.
I think we had our first unit en route actually in about 8 minutes, which is significantly fast for a volunteer department.
The problem with the East Peak Fire was at the time there were five or six more fires that
we're going on throughout the state.
That's Diego Bobian, Huerfano County's emergency manager. His role is to coordinate resources, everything from extra water trucks and fire teams to the Red Cross and community volunteers. Bobian says the demand on their resources when East Peak broke out meant he called the state for assistance almost immediately. Rocco Snart is the acting chief of wildland fire management for the Colorado Division of Fire Prevention and Control.
Our processes, which are a series of checklists to make sure that we understand what we're looking at and we understand what the values at risk are.
Within about 24 hours, Bobian says they had more engines, hand crews, and aviation assets. Snart says the state also activated two aircraft from the Colorado National Guard, which dumped buckets of water over the fire. Snart, himself a volunteer with the Golden Fire Department, said Huerfano's crew worked hard throughout the duration of the East Peak fire.
Volunteer firefighters are a big core of what's going on in Colorado.
Recent numbers compiled by Rocky Mountain PBS iNews suggest the state has a shortage of volunteer firefighters. Fred Partee with the Huerfano County Fire Protection District says he thinks they have a good number of volunteers, but the majority of them are older.
Young people generally are either off at school or working. I'm in my mid-40s, so I'm fairly active. I could still hang with the young guys. But some of the older guys, you know, we have to assign their assignments based on their abilities.
During the East Peak fire, that meant limited and supervised roles. Not everyone was able to be on the front lines. But Partee says, regardless, it's critical to provide volunteer firefighters with strong training and work ethic. The department actively recruits candidates at community events, then trains and provides continuing education on a monthly basis. Partee says they're prepared.
I think that our folks do a really good job for what we can provide and what we do provide. I think we're adequately staffed for the readiness portion. For an actual large-scale incident, you can always use more.
Emergency manager Diego Bobian says the East Peak fire has led to changes. In a lot of ways, he says the firefighters and emergency workers there had never been challenged to that extent. Since last summer, Bobian has been updating the county's preparedness manuals and received a $60,000 grant from the state to create an emergency operations center, which he says has become instrumental in further disaster preparedness training.
If we had the center during the East Peak fire, things would have went a lot smoother. We would have had like a member of the fire department in there, a member from the hospital in there, a member from public health in there, and we would all have been together rather than what happened with the East Peak fire. I was constantly on the phone because they weren't there.
As for the Fire Protection District, Partee says equipment is always a concern.
And it's always something we strive to get is updated equipment to keep our folks nice and safe and to be able to provide the best possible fire protection to our citizens.
Both Partee and Bobian say they feel more prepared to deal with a similar circumstance should one arise. Huerfano County officials encourage residents and businesses to sign up for an emergency alert system called Code Red and to create their own plans in the case of an emergency. For KRCC News, I'm Kate Perdoni.
Up next, Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.